Our scripture reading today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This passage of God's Word stands very prominent upon the pages of the Holy Scriptures, and I am sure that you have either heard them or perhaps even spoken them yourself. God says, You are my people, and you are called to be separate from the world. You are not to compromise as a child of God. You are not to take on the color or the attitude of the world around you, but you are to cleanse yourself, and you are to be holy before the Lord. Do you? Are you different from the world? Do you live in spiritual separation from the filthiness of a wicked world? Are you different? Do others see that in you? I want to be very plain. God's Word says, in the passage that I read, that if we are one with the world, then we are not one with Him. That if the world of sin is what we covet and desire, then we cannot have fellowship with Him. God says, My people live out of a different principle than the world does. I dwell in them. I walk in them, and therefore they desire to be holy, to be separate from a sinful world, to walk as those who are the friends of God. Is that true of you? Let's begin with the command that God gives by His grace, a command that He speaks to the very heart of the life of Christ within us. He says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says, Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, what does that mean? It does not mean world flight. It does not mean physical separation or segregation from society. The Lord is not teaching here that we ought to make a community apart from and having no contact with the world. Build up a stockade, confiscate radios, take away all laptop computers, all newspapers, store up supplies, and live in total isolation. Attempts that have been made to do that fail because we would carry sin in our hearts into such a commune, and such a commune would become an incubator for self-righteousness. Yes. There are times when there is a physical aspect to this command of Christ to be separate. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 7, speaking of the sin of fornication and sexual lusts, we read, Do not go near the door of her house. If your eyes lust sexually, don't go down the aisle in the grocery store where the magazines portraying pornography are to be found. Don't go into the video store. The Word of God says, Go not astray in her paths, for many strong men have been slain by her, and her house is the way to hell. And yes, the Bible also says that there are places and certain evil activities where a child of God must not be found. Again, in Proverbs chapter 4, we read, Enter not into the path of wicked men. Go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. That means, don't get in the car with a group of young people who are going drinking. Don't get in the car. Don't stop off on the way home from work at a tavern. Don't do that. Don't enter a dance hall and join the world in ungodly music. But as I said, this scripture does not teach that our separation from the sins of the world is simply a physical world flight. This is something spiritual. In the first epistle, chapter 5, when Paul was warning against keeping company with fornicators, he said, I do not mean to say that you go out of the world. And that's not God's intent either, that we go out of the world. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We must walk as children of light so that others may see our good works and glorify God our Father. And so with the psalmist, Psalm 119, we realize that we are surrounded on every side by the vanity of sin. In Corinth, to the church to whom Paul is writing, in 2 Corinthians, they lived in a society which simply was surrounded with fornication. We do too. We live in a society surrounded with evil, billboards on the street, TV, papers, merchandise. Now, the calling of God's word is, keep yourself from evil. Form no union, no association, no fellowship with such evil. Stand apart from sin and all uncleanness, which so spoils the lives of many today. The type of separation that God is calling for is made abundantly plain when he says, be not unequally yoked. The figure of speech refers there to a bizarre way in which men would yoke together animals for work. They would yoke together an ox and a donkey. And so we read in the Old Testament that this was forbidden. Deuteronomy 22, verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. That was an unequal yoke. Those animals weren't suited for each other. They did not work in union. They did not pull equally. Don't yoke them together. Now the Word of God says, don't take a yoke that does not fit you. Don't put yourself in the harness with an unbeliever. Don't begin to pull for what they are pulling for. Don't join their yoke. Don't join with their attitudes. Don't assume their way of life. Don't imbibe their way of life into your hearts. Don't take their words upon your lips. Don't adopt their purposes for living. Don't take on their mindset. Don't color your life in their color. Don't become entangled with them. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. In one word, the scriptures are warning us of the danger of compromise with the world. We see that on every side today. In every sphere of life, compromise. The church compromising with the world. The idea that if the church is to win more of the world, then the church must look like the world and convince the world that Christianity is really just like them, and then the world can fit in a little easier into the church. Christ then is said to be where they are at, rather than telling men that they, where they are at, is in a place of destruction and they must come to Christ. No. The idea is that Christianity must be made like the world. And that happens also in our own lives. We can want to dull the sharp points so that we can fit in and feel a little easier with the world on the Sabbath day, with dress, or with entertainment. God says, don't put your neck in the yoke of an unbelieving world. Don't take on their point of view. Don't use their language. Don't seek their goals. Don't desire to be like them. Yes, you must come into contact with them. They must see you. God intends the church to be seen on the earth. And he intends you as a Christian to be seen on this earth. He wants you to be seen in your work, in your family, in your vacation, in your neighborhood. But he wants you to be seen as united to him and not filling the mold of the world. Do not compromise with the world. There is an absolute difference. There is a conflict between the unbelieving world and the Church of Jesus Christ. There is a difference that God hath made. It's the difference of the life of regeneration, that newborn life of Christ, which the child of God has. And so let's use a few examples. Let's think of a Christian nurse. Patient, your patient is involved in a life of sin. Perhaps they come from a broken home and drugs. And your eyes as a Christian nurse are opened up to the world. What are you to do? Quit? No. No. But you are to be a nurse now as one who has the hope and the Word of God in your heart. And so as your patient is being reeled to the operating room, then you don't offer these words with the world, "Well, there's a silver lining in every cloud," or, "Boy, isn't life hard, a bummer." No. You stand out of Jesus Christ and you use the words, maybe you use the very words of Daniel's three friends. "The God who I serve is able to deliver from a burning fiery furnace." Let's use the example of a Christian businessman. We'll say that you're an accountant. Your client says to you, "Well, what the government doesn't know is not going to hurt them. And after all, that's the way business is done today, you know. So be a good Joe and just fit in here." No, you don't take on the world's mold, but you say, "Behind all accounting is the eternal God of truth, and we must do what is right before Him." Or perhaps you're talking to your neighbor, a neighbor who doesn't go to church, he doesn't confess the name of Jesus Christ. You're talking to him over the fence, and he's saying to you, "Oh, yeah, well, when me and my wife, when we get this, we're going to have our dreams and all of these earthly things." But then you have an example to testify to him of the true riches that are in Jesus Christ. Now you must understand with me that the yoke of this world doesn't just lie on the ground. Young people, the conformity of the world is not just something that's neutral on the ground and just waiting there. No, the yoke of the world is something that will be pressed upon you. It will constantly be brought to you, and they will try to press it on you. They will try to get you to join with them, to assume their viewpoint for living, to be like them. If you will be like them, they will greet you with open arms, and they will think you're a great person. 1,000 times in a day, this yoke will attempt to put itself upon you. And God says, "My child, I have yoked you to Jesus Christ. I have united you to Him. I have placed you in this world to live out of the life of regeneration, the life of Christ. Now do not compromise. Do not compromise that standard, or you are guilty of treason to Jesus Christ." Because of the life of Christ within the Christian is different and is living out of a different principle. Goes back to the source of the Christian's life. The source of the Christian's life is not this world, but is from above. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we are begotten from above by a living hope, unto a living hope. Now the Apostle Paul is going to work this out, and he's going to give a series of rhetorical questions by which he shows the absolute contrast between the Christian and the world, in which he shows the utter impossibility of the Christian ever being joined to the world, that life of the Christian, of Christ, ever being joined to the world. First of all, he sets forth the absolute contrast, the obvious contradictions. He says, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Now that's a clear contrast. Those two don't blend. Even though the world and the flesh and the devil try to blend those two, You can't blend that. Righteousness is what God says is right from His holy word. And unrighteousness is what God says is sin, the transgression of His word. You can't blend those two. What communion hath light with darkness? You can't mix those two either, or you don't have light, or you don't have darkness. Light in Scripture is holiness. It's the understanding of God. We are to walk as children of light, even as He is in the light. And darkness in the Bible refers to the blindness or to the arrogance of sin. When we walk in the vanity of our mind and the darkness that is within us, there's no concord between those. There's no communion between light and darkness. What concord has Christ with Belial? Belial is that which is worthless and wicked and perverse. Christ is He who is good and pure and holy. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel, says the apostle? An infidel is a pagan unbeliever. And then he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There's no agreement between the temple of God and an idol. One, the temple of God, is dedicated to the true God. The other, the temple of the idol, is dedicated to lies, to vanity, to falsehood. One is a blessed place. The other is a cursed place. There is an absolute contrast here. On the one hand, there is righteousness, light, Christ, believer, temple of God, and on the other hand is unrighteousness, darkness, Belial, infidel, temple of God. There's the absolute impossibility of joining these two together. They do not have anything in common. They do not seek similar goals. They cannot live in the same house. What fellowship do they have? What shared purposes? What communion? What do they have in common? What concord? What voice of harmony? What participation or agreement? Does God hold out His hand in token of agreement with the idol? Does God shake His hand with an idol? Can God bless one who has set his heart against Him? There's an absolute difference. Now, the reason why a Christian then cannot take on the yoke of an unbeliever is because the Christian is living then out of a different source of life. They are absolutely opposite the life of Christ and the life of this world. God has made us in Christ, be risen in Christ with a life that seeks God. Now, this life is not because of anything that we have in ourselves. Christianity is not something in that sense that we went in for. It's not something that we did to ourselves. Cults do things to people. Philosophies do things. But Christianity is not something of ourselves. Its origin is not of ourselves, but its origin is of God. God, by grace, has placed a different life within the child of God than the life that lives in the unbelieving world. And because of that life, we cannot, we may not, we will not put our neck in the yoke of an unbeliever. We will not live for the same purposes. We will not consent to their sinful ways. We will not live our life by their standards. That's why true Christian living is something only God can give you. You can learn the do's and the don'ts. And you can think that perhaps if an elder would follow you around day by day and make sure you have an exhaustive list of everything you're supposed to do, that maybe you could live the Christian life. Some think that that's possible, but it's not. It is not possible. The list will never be long enough. No, it is Christ in you. Christ in you. You must live out of Christ. Then by His grace you want to obey His law. You seek Him. You love Him as your Lord. You experience His fellowship. You rejoice and your heart sings in tune with Him. And you say to the world, your goals, your approval, your attitude, your thoughts, I count all these things but loss, rubbish and dung. Give me Jesus. There is no compromise between Christ and this world. Come out from among them and be separate. Stand separate from the world. That's the calling of God to us. Don't put your neck in the yoke of the world, but stand separate. Let this be an encouragement to us. We need encouragement, not simply because of the reproach of the world, but we need encouragement because of our own weakness. So easily, so readily, the yoke of the world becomes appealing to us. Sometimes, in our folly, the yoke of the world can be fastened around our neck, and we can't get it off. And then misery comes. Lots of misery for a child of God. Just as if the devil is like the old-fashioned team master, the team driver of horses. The horses are now hitched. He's got them harnessed, and he drives them. When he puts his harness on you, he drives you, he beats you, he exhausts you, and he kills you in sin. The world's yoke of sin is the bondage of hell, and it will drag men down to ruin and emptiness and the flames of the fire of hell. Don't put your neck into the yoke of the world. But having these promises of God, that God will dwell in you and be with you and receive you as a father, come out of the world and separate yourself from all sin and be different from the world and live out of Christ. And in this way, you and I will enjoy what this world and 10,000 more like it can't give. We will enjoy the name of a son and a daughter of the Lord Almighty. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou wilt write it now upon our hearts, and by grace we may come out from this world and live as those who are alive in Christ. Amen.